Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
I'm a member of a Red Sox nation. It's a kind of a family. Wherever I roam, up and way home, that's where I long to be. I'm a member of a Red Sox nation. It's a kind of insanity. Yeah, I live and die with Red Sox pride for eternity. I fake a smile November until opening day. Suffering baseball withdrawal around the clock.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Benny and the Bets podcast covering Red Sox-Yankees baseball. For everyone staying up late tonight on Periscope, the podcast can be found shortly after the conclusion of this broadcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, Player FM, and several other apps as well. Red Sox just wrapped up Game 3 against the New York Yankees with a 16-1 beatdown, and we will be getting into that momentarily. I am Terry Cushman, and I am joined tonight by Billy Holohan and Liz Churchville. How are you guys?
I'm awesome now.
Couldn't be better.
Yeah, and you know, I'm Mr. Negative usually on Twitter and at times on the podcast, and I fully expected the Red Sox to lose tonight. I thought Severino was impressive in the wild card game, and the Yankees never lost a single game at home all last postseason. The Astros couldn't beat them at home, neither could the Indians or the Twins in last year's wild card, so I didn't like how that was looking, but I liked how it was looking after the fourth inning when it was, I don't know if it was 10-0 at that point, but seven runs came up in that inning. Billy, how did you, what were your expectations before the game tonight?
Well, I don't know if you saw my tweet before the game, but I said Brock Holt was going to be the hero. And then he went hit for the cycle. So, I don't know if you saw the other one. I said Eovaldi was going to throw a shutout. He gave up a run. But I expected us to win when they said Eovaldi was going to start, because I felt he was just going to dominate like he did.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because he was said that he was going to be out of the pen. That's what Alex Cora said in game one. If
all game one, I was waiting for him to come in. I was like, yeah, what are they doing? And then they brought Porcello in.
Yeah, and I thought that was interesting. I'm like, well, maybe they have more confidence in Rick Porcello. But, you know, and Porcello had that complete game, you know, one hit, which was a solo by Gregorius last August. It was by far his best start of the year. So you know, I understood it, but then they said a day or two ago that Evaldi would be bumped up to game three and just absolutely shut them down for the most part. Liz,
I would have liked to see him go game two after he dominated earlier in the year. I mean, obviously it wasn't going to happen, but
yeah,
he's true. Awesome against them.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, that was, what, his second start, I think, and he very similar went, I think he went seven shutout innings in that one. But, you know, Liz, what were your expectations before? Because like myself, you also picked the Yankees to win this series.
Yeah, I mean, after the wild card game with Severino, like, I really felt like he was gonna, you know, dominate them, or at least maybe not dominate, that's a bad word, but be way more competitive than he was. So I was thinking, you know, coming into Yankee Stadium, it's a hard place to play anyway, and obviously, you know, it's a home run park and they've got a lot of home run hitters, so I was thinking that that we were going to take the loss in this one, and maybe not a big loss, but still probably you know, would have lost here. But I remember the first show I was on, you asked me who the dark horse was going to be, and I didn't really have an answer that show. And then the next day, I think, I was looking at Brock Holt, and I was like, I think I know who's going to be that guy. And unfortunately, they did need him, but didn't need him here, and it was great that he got that cycle and everything. But he really came out of the woodwork, and I think he's going to continue to do that.
Yeah, Severino's up tomorrow, and he's a lefty, so
Sabathia.
That's what I meant to say, Sabathia. Yeah. Yeah. Severino's a righty. Sabathia is a lefty, and he's up tomorrow, so I wonder if there'll be any pressure on Alex Cora to put him in the lineup anyway, just to ride the hot hand, so to speak. And that's
I'd start him at third.
Yeah, you could do that as well. You know, it's a lefty hitting park, so makes sense. And you figure Sabathia probably only go four or five at the most anyway. So
yeah, when he pitched in, was it March when we played them? No, not March. August, early August when we played them. He went four. He looked tired after four.
Yeah, that was a really hot night. But yeah, that was he really had to labor through that. And hopefully we can do it one more time. He's clearly not the same pitcher as he was last year anyway.
No, he's just a pitcher. Like, he knows how to pitch. He doesn't need to overpower you.
Right. Yeah, he's a finesse guy at this point in his career.
But, I mean, if they can take the crowd out of it again, they took the crowd out early, and that was big. If they can do that again tomorrow, like put up three in the first inning, I don't think they lose.
Yeah, it's momentum, you know, and we saw that in 04. You know, we kind of broke them in games 4 and 5 by going, you know, 13, 14 innings, and then it seemed like game 6 and 7 we just kind of breezed through, you know, with all that momentum. And I'm hoping that's the case tomorrow, but the good news is we're guaranteed a game 5, and Chris Sale will pitch that game. And if Rick Porcello can clinch it tomorrow for us, then we'll have a few more off days and we'll really be able to line up our rotation the way we want it to be against the Astros, who are into the next round. So they got all the time in the world to line things up however they want.
They got going tomorrow like it's a must win. Even though it's not, you don't want to go back to Boston.
Yeah.
I want game 5.
Yeah.
Tanaka, I mean, they'll probably throw Tanaka on a short rest, I would assume.
They could, yeah. And he's got really good numbers against us at Fenway Park, I noticed, which is kind of strange.
He's got good stuff.
Yeah.
I've never noticed how, like, nasty he is, but he's nasty.
Yeah. He's a big-game pitcher. He always shows up and does his job, unlike at least one of our guys. But yeah. So we'll get to him in a little bit. But
you got a standing ovation by the Yankee fans.
I heard about it. I did not see it.
Oh my god! That must be so embarrassing.
Yeah, it must be.
How do you look at your teammates after that?
Right. I mean, it's the elephant in the room, and they're saying, you know, he might come out of the bullpen, and I'm like, well, hopefully on a night like tonight he might, but I don't want it to be in a high-leverage situation, and certainly not while the top of the order is up either. You know, just you'd just be begging for...
Yeah, at this point, his starts in the playoffs are just like giving the other team a game.
Right, yeah. Aaron Judge is basically an automatic home run. And, I mean, Gary Sanchez hasn't hit well off of anyone, but he raked in game two against Price, and then he hit one off of Erod. So,
yeah, I was trying to be confident because, like, I just said, like, he got shelled by them earlier, but I was like, all right, that was at Yankee Stadium. He's not a Yankee Stadium pitcher. I was like, maybe he can give us something at Fenway. No heart at all. He just has no heart. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's predictable. And I've been a hater all along, so it's been really easy for me to maintain that narrative. And you know, he didn't look good in his two prior starts before the postseason, one of which was in Yankee Stadium. But then against the Orioles, got off to a really shaky start. I think he gave up 3 runs in the first inning, and I just didn't like the way things were trending for him. And
I was at game one when they like announced the whole roster for the game, and the whole section I was sitting in just booed David Price at Fenway.
Yeah. Oh, you were there, weren't you?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, so it was really bad in the crowd?
Oh my, the whole crowd, like even behind me the whole game, this one guy just kept talking shit about him. And I couldn't disagree with anything he said. Like, he was like, I don't want Price to pitch tomorrow. And I was like, yeah, dude, same.
Okay, yeah. Liz, I mean, you've seen Price as much as we have. Did you fully expect what took place to happen on Saturday?
I was really holding out that he would prove you guys wrong, but unfortunately, he did not. You know, I was hoping that he was going to come in there and, you know, kind of win back the fans, win back, you know, himself, you know. But it just wasn't good for him. As far as, like, him coming out of the bullpen, I mean, I know what you, you know, just said about it, and you don't want him in a high-pressure situation or anything like that necessarily. But, I mean, what would the rotation look like? You think Cora would go with, like, a 3-man rotation, you know, at that point, if they did decide to play Price out of the bullpen?
It was just for the rest of the series, they said that.
Mm.
Right. He wouldn't have been lined up to pitch again to start anyway. And mm-hmm. But that does...
Yeah, he's not good. They're not going to skip his start against Houston.
Have they said that? Do you know, or...?
I mean, they even said it, but...
Okay.
I couldn't see them doing it.
Well, it would have to be...
I feel like every...
Erod.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I was going to say Erod's the only other option, but it would be a safe bet to use Price in long relief if...
He did awesome last year.
Yeah, right.
In that role.
I mean, sometimes if you can, like, Sale goes out there and just does his job and we don't need Price, but if you could use Price back-to-back in games 2 or 3... It doesn't matter so much if we lose game 4 because we can, you know, utilize him again. And then Sale's going to get another start.
I mean, he's getting paid $200 million. You got to get some kind of production from this guy in the playoffs.
Right, yeah. We'll see. We'll know in maybe another day or two what...
I'm sure Cora's not going to, like, say what they're going to do next series until they win the series.
Yeah, true, right.
Speaking of that, when they win the series, Mookie... gonna walk by the Yankees clubhouse playing the Dirty Water song.
I hope it happens. Yeah, that was kind of a punk move on Judge's part, but yeah.
Stupid. Like, why would you do that when you haven't even won the series?
Right. Yeah.
It's just bulletin board material.
Right. Liz, any more thoughts on David Price? I kind of cut you off there.
Oh, no. I was actually just thinking it would be interesting if moving forward, I mean, depending on, you know, what happens in the off season and all this kind of stuff, just thinking to the future, if he does, you know, say get moved into the bullpen and do well and, you know, something crazy like that happens, if over time, you know, since you guys do have him for, I don't even know, how much longer do you guys have him?
4 more years if he doesn't opt
out. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So since you've got that time, if he would, you know, potentially evolve into, you know, a good long reliever or even a closer, like for some reason, I think of Wade Davis and how Wade Davis was a starter for the Rays, but then he transitioned to bullpen with us and then he went over to the Royals and became, you know, a top closer, you know, for them. I'm not even sure where Wade Davis is now, but I'm not sure where he is. But if there'd be a scenario like that for Price, I mean, he'd be an expensive, you know, bullpen pitcher, but I mean, if that turns out to be his role, you know, perhaps. But
he wilts under pressure. He can't be a big bullpen guy like that in high leverage situations.
Right.
Pee his pants.
And he could, I mean, he's fine in the regular season for the most part, but it's just when October rolls around, you know, something happens to his brain and he just can't pitch for whatever reason. And so, I mean, that'll be how they have to look at it if he doesn't opt out, you know, but that'll all get addressed next year.
It sucks because he's such a good teammate too. Like, everyone on the team loves him. Like, he doesn't seem like a good teammate to us because he looks like he quits on the team, but everyone on the team loves him. Like, it just sucks he can't succeed in the playoffs because he's a guy that they can rally behind.
Yeah, I don't know. I just dream of the day that he and Dustin Pedroia are no longer a part of this team, and, you know, JD and Mookie are the, you know, are the two major powers in the clubhouse, or for lack of a better term. But I don't know. There just always seems to be drama with him around, and you know, no other teams won, you know, wherever he was before. I mean, he got to the LCS with Toronto when he was a rental, and the Tigers kind of fizzled that one year, and Tampa in 08, he was kind of working out of the pen because he was a rookie that year, but they didn't win the World Series either, and they never really came close to getting there. So I don't know. Certain guys I just don't like having around. Adrian Gonzalez, another great example. The Dodgers literally sent him home last year. Like, he showed up mid-series because he was on vacation, oddly enough, and he was injured anyway. So I guess the optics were bad, so he finally shows up, and then they drop a game or two. And then Dan Roberts is like, look, man, you got to go home or something. Just, we'll catch up after the series. And, you know, they just didn't want him around. And I think Bryce Harper has a similar effect. I mean, there's nothing but mutiny right going on in that Nationals clubhouse. Like, they traded a reliever because they thought he was the clubhouse rat and was leaking stories to Jeff Passan from Yahoo Sports. And that was Brandon Kinsler. And they traded him to the Cubs. And Passan came out after the trade and said, I've never had a single conversation with Brandon Kinsler. So somebody else was the rat in that clubhouse. And I mean, I don't know. I guess if we win the World Series this year, that whole theory goes down the toilet. But up till now, I mean, there's been controversy every season, except for the season with Big Poppy still here in 2016. There was no drama then, but as soon as he left, you know, a bunch of things went down. And
that's, yeah, I mean, I love him in the regular season. Like, the regular season this year, he was awesome. And I just had a feeling he was going to carry it into the playoffs, and I was so wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been great if we could have won game two because, you know, we would have swept him. But, you know, but I just don't like – when he was on the mound, you can tell by his body language what kind of a night it's going to be. If he's standing there constantly taking deep breaths before he gets to his, you know, his set position, and, you know, and he's straightening out his uniform and he does this little shiver thing –
he just doesn't instill fear into a batter like Sale does, you know?
Not
I don't think
anymore.
Guys go up to the plate saying this guy can blow me away because he can't.
Well, there's also that, and, you know, I mean, he doesn't throw gas anymore. He tops out at about 94. And yeah, they're not afraid of him. So, you know, that's a good point.
Like, when he's on, he's fun to watch pitch. I'll admit it. But he just doesn't show up in big games.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And when you're paying a guy $200 million, you're not paying him to have a good regular season. You're paying him to be big for you in a World Series run.
Exactly, yeah. And hopefully he opts out. I think there's a slight chance he might, but, you know, I'm obviously in the minority there. He'll do what his agent tells him to do, and I think coupled with the fact that there is no ace on the market this year, kind of plays in his favor. And if the Red Sox ate about a third of his contract instead of him being a $30 million pitcher, if they made him like a $20 million pitcher, I think teams would line up. Teams looking for that third or fourth guy to kind of put him over the top. Kind of like when Gerrit Cole went to Houston. They didn't exactly need him because Verlander, Keuchel, and Morton, McCullers, I mean, they could have won the World Series without Cole, but if anybody is looking for that piece, maybe Price becomes that guy, and it would obviously have to be a National League team because, you know, the Red Sox wouldn't want to face him. I'd want to face him if we were playing him. But
Cole was coming off a year where his ERA was like 4.2, though.
Yeah, true. Yeah, he didn't have a great year, but yeah, so anything else we'll get into tomorrow's matchup. Unless you guys have
I want to talk about Eovaldi. He dominated.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's talk about him.
He showed up.
Yeah.
That was his first playoff start. First playoff appearance.
Yeah, and he had he had Tommy John surgery on his throwing elbow and his flexor tendon, which is a big deal. Like, his entire elbow was rebuilt, you know, the ligaments around it. And, you know, he hadn't pitched since 2016. And, I mean, up until this game, I mean, wasn't he looking like somewhat of a bust?
I mean, he had on starts and off starts. I don't think you could have labeled him as a bust because he's never had an ERA below 3.3 in his career. And in that year, he started 18 games. So, I mean, I don't think you would label him as a bust. I think he was a project, I guess, for lack of a better term, that had a high reward, high risk, high reward trade.
Absolutely. And I mean, I wasn't crazy about it when it happened, but I was open-minded. You know, I mean, I know the hardcore analytics people were raving about it and said that it was an absolute steal. Liz, what were your thoughts? Because, I mean, you guys had him in Tampa for half a season. And what kind of an impact did you think he would make with Boston?
I was definitely sad to see him go. You know, he did pretty good work, you know, with us and everything. But I wasn't sure what he was going to do. Anytime, you know, a player goes from, you know, a market, you know, like Tampa and moves into a place like Boston, just almost like with Price, you know, in a way, you know, you take them from a little stage and put them on a big one. They could have been great here, and then they just get up there and they crack under pressure. So he's really stepped up, just, you know, and I'm glad he's doing well up there.
Yeah, I was excited when we got him. His ERA in Tampa was 4.26. But if you took away his last start before getting traded, it was against the Twins. I think it was 8 earned in 2 innings. It was like a 3.8. I thought he was going to make an impact. I'd re-sign him if I'm the Red Sox, if he would want to come back. He's not going to be expensive, and he just showed that he can show up in big games.
Yeah, and hopefully it wouldn't be a long-term deal because he's had Tommy John twice now. And
I think they could do like a Mitch Moreland kind of thing with him.
Yeah, maybe a 2-year deal, and maybe a vesting option for a third or whatever. But inevitably, he's probably going to need a third Tommy John eventually, and you know, so you don't want to get too invested. But he definitely looks like a really serviceable option you know, in the rotation. And but when there was a period, though, throughout the second half of August and September where, I mean, he just, I didn't know what his role would be. It almost seemed like he was definitely going to be coming out of the pen. And, you know, Erod.
Well, Cora gave a ton of mixed signals about that.
Yeah, right. And Erod came back and looked phenomenal in his first start. So I took that as to mean that, you know, even though he's a lefty like Sale and Price, I just figured Evaldi's definitely going to get relegated to the pen. But, you know, it kind of worked out because Erod kind of fizzled and, you know, was his inconsistent self. And
yeah, I mean, I just love watching him pitch. Like, he doesn't walk guys. He doesn't fall behind. Like, I love that.
Yeah, he gives up hard contact, though, if he's not able to locate.
His cutter is just filthy. Like, I love a good cutter. I love watching a guy with a good cutter.
Yeah, I just wonder how he'll stack up with the Astros, though.
Yeah, he didn't get a start against them, at least in a Red Sox uniform, I don't think. I don't know if he got one with the Rays.
Well, we faced him in September. I don't know. I might be able to pull that up.
I think that was around the time where Cora was saying Evaldi was going to come out of the pen in the playoffs, so I don't think he got a start.
Yeah, he played with the Rays, it looks like, back in June, and he got the loss.
Oh, did he?
Do you have a stat line?
Yeah. Looks like 7 hits, 4 runs, 4 earned, 4 home runs. So that's not too promising. So, but, I mean, for one start, I mean, it's hard to say. He's real aggressive, which I like too, but that aggression with that lineup, you know, can come back to bite you.
Yeah, we got to get there first, though.
True.
I don't want to jinx anything yet.
And like you said, he did give up 8 runs in 2 innings against the Twins, and then a couple weeks later in his very first, and I don't even think it was a couple weeks, I think it was quicker than that, but in his first start with the Red Sox, he pitched 8 shutout innings against them after, you know, getting shelled, like you said.
So, he seems like, he just seems like a tough guy. Like, I just feel like he doesn't let, like, a moment get to him.
Yeah, true.
Like, the opposite of Price.
Right. Mm-hmm. Luckily, Porcello's like that as well. And he's getting the start tomorrow. And my hope for Porcello, I know he won the Cy Young, but I knew he wasn't going to turn into, like, Max Scherzer or someone. Not that he throws 98.
He's got a 5.8 postseason career ERA. I know that.
Which is... That scares me. Only in 2 starts, I think, though.
I know it was an 0-2 record. I don't know many he's
actually started. He might have pitched for Detroit now that I think about it, but
yeah, I know it's an 0-2 record.
Yeah, but it's a fairly short sample size, and you know, I just think if he can keep the ball up in the zone, that seems to translate well for him against the Yankees, because for the most part, they're a launch angle type lineup, and you know, they live and die by the home run, and really I think his only threat would be Giancarlo Stanton, because he doesn't have that uppercut swing, and I think that's what led to you know, that complete game. So
yeah, I mean, when you can throw that cutter running away to hitters at Yankee Stadium, you got something working, because if you miss that location by an inch, that's going over the right field wall.
Right. Yeah, and we'll see tomorrow, but I just think we're going to ride the momentum. What's the lineup going to look like against Sabathia? Because a lot of the guys tonight that did a lot of damage were lefties. I mean, Benintendi, 3 RBIs. Brock Holt, 5 RBIs.
I think Sandy's back in the lineup, unfortunately.
Yeah, because that's Porcello's guy. I mean, he was the guy that helped spark that Cy Young run when he got, you know, added to the
big. Yeah, I mean, I love roster. Sandy behind the plate. Game one, he was making some. Like, when Kimbrel came in, he's stopping, like, fastballs in the dirt. Like, he's awesome behind the plate.
Yeah.
He just can't hit.
Barnes was throwing the ball like it was a lawn dart, and
yeah, he was throwing splitters 48 feet. Like,
yeah, it was bad, but Sandy, bases were loaded a couple of times, and he kept the ball in front of him. And
I think Holt starts at third tomorrow. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll happen, but that's I would just ride the hot bat.
I don't know how.
Holt's so streaky. He's a streaky guy.
Yeah. I don't know what numbers Devers has against Sabathia, but, you know, if he's the odd man out, that's fine. But if it's Kinsler again, I would also be fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't start Kinsler at second in most of these games. Like, I know he's got experience, but he's got an awesome glove, but it's not like Holt can't make plays at second.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
He was so hot in September.
Right. Yeah. And if nothing else, I mean, he can still come off the bench. I mean, he was basically Johnny Gomes in the second half. He had at least a couple of home runs off the bench, and you know, we got the depth, so that's good. That's good.
I mean, Pierce probably slides into the three hole tomorrow because with the lefty pitcher.
Yeah,
that's what I would guess, with JD hitting fourth, Bogart's hitting fifth, probably.
Right.
Yeah, and Pierce has really good numbers against Sabathia, apparently.
Who does?
Yeah, well, Sabathia pitched in Pierce's three home run game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
yeah, I was at that. That was crazy.
He'll be in the lineup for sure. All right. Well, I don't know. I think we've covered most of it. Liz, are you going to change your tune with me and pick socks from here out, or?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I want them to win. You know, like I said, when I picked the Yankees,
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's heavily in the Red Sox favor at this point, because we hit Hap, we hit Severino. I'm assuming we're going to do some damage against Sabathia tomorrow. Yeah.
I just want to say, how embarrassing is it that you have to throw your backup catcher in a playoff game? That is embarrassing.
You know, I was going to have this I had this brilliant tweet all ready to go if Romine got out of the inning, you know, without giving up any home runs to anyone. And I was going to say that I'd never seen a catcher pitch to another catcher. And then I was going to point out that the catcher that just pitched better than the $217 million pitcher did, because Price didn't even have a clean inning, you know, in that start. So if Romine got out of the inning without a run, he's had a better postseason on the mound. But
is Hicks good to go tomorrow for the Yankees?
I would think so, because I was seeing reports that he was really upset with Aaron Boone for not putting him in the lineup. So
Gardner, he went 0-3 again today, but McCutcheon's went 0-4, so I don't know who they would – if they would start McCutcheon or Gardner, I'd probably go McCutcheon.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, hopefully they make the wrong choice, but I'd be surprised if Hicks doesn't end up in the lineup, and he seems to hit us so well, too.
Can I get your opinion on Luke Voit? Like, I think he's a douchebag. He had his chest hair sticking out of his jersey today.
Did he?
Yeah, he's a douchebag.
Yeah. He's, you know, who knows? I mean, he made an interesting case for Rookie of the Year. He won't get it, obviously. Otani or Andujar will get it. But, yeah, I just...
It reminds me of, like, a frat kid who's just, like, way too full of himself.
Yeah.
Like, he did the video of him doing the bench press with one arm. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah. Well, apparently he likes showmanship. He took a lot of heat for that.
That flipping the triple?
Yeah, yeah. He was acting like it was going to go, and it didn't go, and it happens to be the shortest right field in Major League Baseball as well. So
I liked when he, when we were playing like the last week of the last series of the year, and he did a bat flip on a home run that went to the first row. I forget what Eckersley said, like, exactly, but he was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, he hasn't quite reached Tyler Austin status yet, but that could change, if not in the next couple of games at some point next year. But he mashed his way onto that postseason lineup.
He was hot, and I mean, he had another hit again today. I think he's got a hit in all three games so far.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't quite have the momentum, though. I mean, the All-Star game, he either had, I don't know if the bases were loaded when he hit that or if there were two on, but he cleared the bases and, you know, made his mark there. But the Red Sox have done a good job kind of neutralizing him and not letting him, you know, do any real damage.
Yeah, and I mean, Stanton did some today, but he's game one, he looked terrible. Stanton.
Yeah.
He wasn't coming, like, within 5 feet of a ball. He didn't scare me at all game one, but, I mean,
yeah, well,
I still wouldn't give him anything to hit tomorrow.
Like I said, you know, Porcello pitches him, you know, will pitch them high and try to prevent them from really, you know, letting it leave the park anyway. And so I don't know if everybody else is, but Stanton's extremely streaky, as we have seen throughout the year. I mean,
yeah,
he had those 2 5 strikeout games and, you know, and he really didn't do much through, you know, the first 6 weeks anyway.
What do you think Porcello's stat line looks like tomorrow?
I'll say 6 1/3. I think he'll come out in the 7th inning, probably get an out, and first hit or walk he gives up, I think they'll pull him.
Yeah, I think he needs to go at least 6. But I think he's going to have one of those starts where he looks, like, dominant through, like, the first 3 innings. And then, like, the 4th inning, couple line drives get hit off him. And then once he gives up a hit in the 5th, they'll pull him.
Well, I mean, who's going to come in after him?
No, I don't know who, but, I mean,
yeah.
Kelly looked good the other night. Maybe he can ride that. He's a streaky pitcher.
Yeah, a friend of mine was texting.
Much as I hate him.
A friend of mine was texting me before the game, and he was, well, he's a Yankee fan. He's a little nervous, and I was like, you know, I didn't think Eovaldi was going to go that many innings. And I kept telling him, even if Sabathia wasn't good, I'm like, our bullpen has to come in sometime, you know, and who knows what's going to happen at that point.
Yeah, speaking of that, why was Wright even put on the roster if he had an MRI scheduled?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know it didn't end up hurting us, but
I think
that didn't make sense to me.
It cropped up, I think, the day before, and that seems to happen with him, because remember he had those 2 electric starts, you know, when he came off of his suspension and just looked really good. And then I think his 3rd or 4th start, he just got absolutely shelled and then suddenly is on the DL, and he didn't come off of it until, you know, early September. And then that he had the same surgery Pedroia had, that cartilage restoration where they take it from an organ donor, basically. And
yeah.
I don't know the exact specifics, but it gets kind of, you know, integrated into their leg. And I don't know that that's really a successful surgery. It might have been more experimental because both of them are having issues. And
if it's a tight game tomorrow, like let's say around 6th, 7th inning, you're up by 1. Would you risk putting Sale in for an inning?
And we're up by 1.
Like, let's say we're up by 1 or 2 runs, because they said that was it. Game 2, he was available to go out of the pen. He said he was available out of the pen game 2. I think before the game tonight, I saw something on Twitter that like Sale could go out of the pen if they need him.
I'd be uncomfortable with that if it was a real narrow lead. If it was like 3 or 4 runs and it was like the 8th inning or something, you know, then I might. But I don't want to jeopardize the entire following game, you know, just to see if he can do it. I don't – it's just, who knows? And there's been a lot that I've been uncomfortable with this series.
It sucks not having, like, a bullpen where, like, you know who you're going to go to in the 7th, 8th, and the 9th.
Right. No, I feel you.
It's so stressful.
I mean, Kelly did kind of redeem himself, so maybe he'll get another look at some point in the game tomorrow. And
like the Yankees, they have it good. They have Betances, they have Chapman, and they have Robertson. Like, they know that's their seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. Like, we don't have that.
Yeah, and they have Britton as well, who is
They have Britton too. They could pull their starter out in the fifth with a one run lead and be fine.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Must be nuts.
You know, and Cora finally did put Brazier into a clean inning, and
he was a badass. He said, "Get in the box," and then Cade Sanchez.
Yeah, he did.
That was awesome.
And a couple of weird things happened. I know Nunez botched a throw over to first, and that allowed a base runner, and another weird thing happened. But if his defense was solid all around him, it would have been a totally clean inning. And if he's utilized that way, I have a lot of faith in him that he can get through the inning. But if he comes in with runners on, it seems like they always end up scoring. So he's just got to come out at the start of the inning, and hopefully the manager figured
Brazier.
That out.
I like Brazier a lot.
Yeah, and the way the whole last couple weeks went, I mean, Cora was just doing the most random things. He was using Pomeranz in weird spots, and you know, so everybody's saying, oh, he's just you know, keeping everyone loose, you know, for the postseason, and don't read into what he does, and you know, and so, but when he brought him out in game one with runners on and at least two of them scored, I was like, you know, I got really uncomfortable. I'm like, I hope this guy knows what he's doing in the month of October.
Yeah, I mean, if you got to put someone in with runners on, I guess I'd probably go like Workman or Barnes.
Yeah.
Kelly, now that he had that good game.
Right. You know, and any one of them.
Workman. He got himself into the jam game one, but he clutched up and got out of it.
Yeah, which makes me a little bit more comfortable with him than Barnes, I must say. Yeah.
When his curveball's on, that's nasty.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and he still throws heat as well. You know, he throws 98, 99, so.
He's got the World Series experience.
Yeah. All right, so we'll just wrap up. You know, a few of us probably have to get up early. Liz, give me your final score for tomorrow.
Final score. I'm thinking, I don't know, Yankees 6, Red Sox 4.
Oh, hater. No, just kidding. All right, Billy.
I think they'll push game 5. I really think they'll push game 5. I think this was embarrassing, you know, and the Red Sox have momentum, but at the same time, now the Yankees have the drive. They know they're at home. They know they're more likely to win at home, and going into Boston is going to be difficult for both teams, but it'll be a lot easier, you know, for them to win here, and they know it's a must win. So that's why I'm thinking they're going to push it to game 5.
Right. And the one thing in the back of my mind too, is if you go back to 04, when the Yankees won their third game, it was 19-8, and I was thinking, oh, we're done. We just got killed. There's no way we're recovering from this. And then, of course, the run started in the next game, and, you know, we went to the World Series. But that is kind of screwing with me a little bit, you know, 16-1, and I'm thinking back to that game. But I'm just going to try to forget about it. Billy, what's your final score?
Red Sox 400, Yankees 0. Nah, I think Red Sox win at 7-5.
7-5.
I just think they have too much momentum right now.
I'll go 7-2, Boston.
How do you feel that the first base umpire, Angel Hernandez, he's behind the plate tomorrow?
That's a little scary, but yeah. He definitely had a rough night at first.
Too, like, I'm watching on TV, and I'm like, I knew right away those were wrong calls.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he didn't have a good night. And the other scary thing is he's really quick to eject players, and you don't really want to see that in a playoff-type game. So,
I thought there was a chance today got a little chippy because of what Judge did, but I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, all right. I'll, I think I got, yeah, I got Jeremy and, John coming on tomorrow night. So, if that doesn't clinch it, we'll be back on Thursday night. So I'll touch base with you guys on that. And we could have a regular show at some point this week as well. So, yeah, we'll be in touch as far as all that goes.
Sounds good.
All right.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks for coming on, and go get some sleep.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Good night.
Red Sox take a 2-1 series lead against the New York Yankees thanks to some explosive offense and shutdown starting pitching from Nathan Eovaldi. They'll pick it back up tomorrow night with Rick Porcello on the mound against CC Sabathia, and we will have a post-game show as well. So tune in for that, and have a good evening, good morning, whenever you happen to listen.
I'm a member of a Red Sox nation. It's a kind of a family. Wherever I roam, from Fenway home, that's where I long to be. I'm a member of a Red Sox nation. It's a kind of insanity. Yeah, I live and die with Red Sox pride for eternity. I fake a smile November until opening day. Suffering baseball withdrawal around the clock. When April comes, hey, meet me down on Yawkey Way. That's when Red Sox Nation starts to rock. I'm a member of the Red Sox Nation. It's a kind of a family. Wherever I roam, a Fenway home, that's where I long to be. I'm a member of the Red Sox Nation. It's a kind of insanity. Yeah, I live and die with Red Sox pride for eternity.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.